through them and take our hearts and set them on fire. Amen. Lord, you now have set your servant free to go in peace as you have promised. For these eyes of mine have seen the Savior whom you have prepared for all the world to see, a light to enlighten the nations and the glory of your people Israel. This is the translation of the words that we heard in our gospel passage today called the Song of Simeon. They're a significant part of the liturgy in our prayer book in quite a few places, and they hold a particularly special place in my heart. I probably first prayed these words in seminary at Princeton when a few of us Episcopal students gathered almost daily to pray the evening office together. As much as I love the Eucharist and the sharing of bread and wine around a table to which all are invited, it was the practice of praying morning and evening prayer that really drew me to the Episcopal Church. In the many times when I struggled to have words of my own to pray, I found then that I could join in these beautiful words and the rhythm of the ancient practice and know that it was prayer deep in my heart. While the practice of morning prayer has usually fit my schedule better, I have always loved the words of evening prayer best. And because it offers less options, the repetition worked their way even deeper into my heart and spirit over those years when I gathered with friends to pray them. From "Our eyes behold the vesper light," to "Keep watch, dear Lord, with those who work or watch or weep this night," those beautiful words still touch somewhere deep in my soul that few other things do. And unlike morning prayer, which has over a dozen options, evening prayer only has two canticles or songs that are read after readings. So that in the Song of Simeon is one of them. So every evening that we gathered to pray, we would pray, "Lord, now you have now set your servant free to go in peace as you have promised. For these eyes of mine have seen the Savior, whom you have prepared for all the world to see, a light to enlighten the nations and the glory of your people, Israel." I was still a student then, which meant my work was done during finals, not because it was 5 o'clock. Every evening, there was always more to be read than possible, and the pressure of the papers that I knew were left to write and work that was left to be done felt like a cloud that followed me at all times. When we gathered for evening prayer, the day never felt done. And yet here were these words, "Lord, you now have set your servant free to go in peace as you have promised." In some ways, they didn't ring true for me. But I believe this was part of what made these words so beautiful. In those words, we honored the end of another day given by God. We took a moment to separate from the work that had been done and place our hope and faith in a God in whom all things are completed, in whom all things will one day be restored. Back then, I thought those feelings were because of the lifestyle of graduate school in a particularly high-pressure environment. But since I finished school, I've found that it hasn't really changed. Just because it's 5 p.m. or 9 p.m., just because I leave the office, I never really feel like my work is done. There's always, always more to do. I always have this cloud of work left undone. People left unreached, goals left unachieved, expectations unmet. And as I talk to others, I find that I'm not really unique in those feelings. Very few of us are true 9-to-5ers anymore. Our lives involve constant work and expectations that need to be balanced, which means that it's hard to call our work and our days truly complete in any way other than simply closing our eyes at night. This feeling of struggling to find closure is not unique to our days, however. As it turns out, though, this piece of liturgy, the Song of Simeon, is also not only found in the liturgy that we pray to close the day. There's another place where the Song of Simeon is used in our life as Anglicans. And I learned this for the first time as I attended an Episcopal funeral for the first time. That funeral was my dad's. He had died 3 days earlier in a car accident, which killed him instantly after an 18-wheeler hit him and caused his car to explode. The funeral was beautiful. I learned then in a new way that liturgy is truly the work of the people, because their work carried me, held me, and surrounded me in beauty and hope in the midst of numbness and tragedy. At the end, my uncles and cousins began to carry the casket out of the church so that we could lay whatever the fire had left of my dad into the ground forever. And as they began to carry him out of the church, a priest stood up and began to read, "Lord, you now have set your servant free to go in peace as you have promised." And for some reason in that moment, I remember feeling deep comfort. Well, that was strange, because there was little that was peaceful about how my dad left this world. One of the feelings that was so overwhelming for us all was that his life felt so far from done. He was healthy. He had retired just 6 months earlier and begun to spend all his time pursuing the hobbies and activities that he loved. It didn't seem right that his life was done. There was so much left for him to do. So much of his life that should have been left. It was impossible then to take in all the nevers. After supporting my journey, he would never see me ordained. He would never meet whoever I fell in love with. He would never see me get married. He would never see grandchildren. He would never drive me crazy with his incessant talking and questioning. We would never argue again, and my mom would never laugh at us again because we were too much alike and drove each other crazy. We would never again anything. The day did not feel done. And yet, here are these words again. "Lord, you now have set your servant free to go in peace as you have promised. For these eyes of mine have seen the Savior whom you have prepared for all the world to see, a light to enlighten the nations and the glory of your people, Israel." To be honest, I'm still not sure why they comforted me. It doesn't really make sense. Yet I have to believe, because of those days praying those words when they didn't feel true, because the day didn't feel done, that prayer provided some peace over my dad's casket, because they returned me to a familiar place of prayer that tried in faith to honor the end of a life given by God and hope for rest in a God in whom all things will one day be complete, will one day be restored. I don't know why so much of life seems this way, incomplete, unfinished, because it's not just our days or the lives of those we love. I think we all have parts of our lives that leave us feeling undone. Relationships that leave us with open wounds and longings, the deaths of loved ones who leave us far too soon. Communities that failed us, but where we had no recourse to find closure. Parts of our lives where we need peace but cannot find it. Places deep in our soul where we long to be set free. What I do know is that others have walked this journey before, like Simeon. Much ink and blood has been spilled over the meaning of Scripture, whether it's literal, whether it matters. And while those are important discussions to have, for me, it's passages like the Song of Simeon and stories like this that are my best way to explain what Scripture means to me. Scripture matters. It deeply, deeply matters. It helps us make sense of our lives. It helps us find meaning. And when we cannot find meaning, it helps us find peace. It connects us to others who have walked our same path, and it speaks to our soul in a way that is hard to explain. In the words of a man who glimpsed the hope that generations had longed for but knew he wouldn't live to see its fullness, I have found words to cling to in my own times when I have to hold to faith in that which I cannot see. And I believe that at its best, this is what liturgy does as well. I grew up being told that we shouldn't repeat prayers. Yet it was the repeating of this prayer every evening that helped me make it through difficult days. And I really came to understand the power of liturgy in a new way during my dad's funeral and the days after, when a prayer that had worked its way deep into my bones was something I could connect to when the entire world suddenly seemed unfamiliar. Sometimes I believe we struggle to answer why we cling to these traditions and texts as we do as Episcopalians. But I believe this is why we do. We don't cling because they're old. We cling because we are human, and God is God, and we need meaning and grace and beauty and truth. We certainly must keep evolving and finding ways to make our practices fit into our lives today. We must find ways to keep Scripture alive in our own day, because our world desperately needs it, and we desperately need it. In the last few months, we've done work as a community to make the study of Scripture and prayer a more integral part of our life as a community, and this is why. Because we need it for our lives, to get through our days, to grow in our spiritual journeys with God. Deep in our souls, we long for peace and wisdom that we cannot find anywhere else. And our God longs to be sought there, just as God has been found in prayer and Scripture throughout all the ages. I don't know that this means any of us will come to any great conclusions or answers to the big questions of life immediately, like why so many things in our life seem unfinished, and why we must say goodbye to those we hold most dear. In fact, I believe we all will live somewhat like Simeon, who we encounter today. We forever must be grateful for the glimpses that we catch of the amazing work that God is doing among us, the promises of what is to come, and be at peace with the fullness that we will never see. I pray, however, that in these words you too may find solace for the days that do not seem done, for the relationships that still seem unfinished, for the pains that struggle to close, and for the places in your heart where you long to be set free. In those times, may we know that God is close to us, and may we be found in Him. Lord, may you set your servant free to go in peace as you have promised. For these eyes of mine have seen the Savior, whom you have prepared for all the world to see, a light to enlighten the nations, and the glory of your people Israel. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.